All right. Well, I am happy to see all of you, that most of you guys are healthy. It's been a rough week for this church. First, some sad news, but also some happy news if you understand Scripture correctly. Jackie Bremer passed away this last week. Most of us I probably already know, but I might have a few things more to say about Jackie here in a little bit, but that's how we kind of started this week off. We also have Jim and Janet. You know, Janet's been suffering and possibly had a stroke. She used to be up here singing with us before that happened. And they transported her down to Sacramento for rehab, her and Jim. Jim's been staying down there with her. And then she got blood clots this last week and had to go back into emergency. And they got her through the blood clots, and now she's back in therapy. Probably be down there for at least another 2-3 weeks minimum. And then, I guess, maybe it was corona or some other little virus out there hit and went through, especially the ladies. I guess most of the ladies' Bible study. Susan Grant, she's sick, and she did get tested. She said she would pop positive for COVID. My wife's home. Lisa's home. The coffee staff is home. Jacqueline and John, just Pat. I think Pat's sick. So it's just crazy. So you guys are all the healthy ones. All right, you're all the ones that are germ-free. Everyone else stayed at home. They're sick. And so it's been a rough week on the church. But a lot of people are sick, so keeping them in your prayers. Keep Jim and Janet in your prayers. And again, Jackie, we're going to celebrate her this week. So let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy allowing us to be here today. Lord, we lift up all those in our church that are dealing with sickness and dealing with stroke, dealing with so much, Lord. Lord, we lift them up. We ask you to strengthen them. Physically strengthen the ones that are sick or, as Janice, trying to come over the stroke. Lord, that you just give them physical strength, their bodies to recuperate, to heal. Lord, we ask you to give them spiritual strength. Let them know that you are there with them. They're not alone. This morning they're not here with us, but we're in spirit with them. And Lord, I just ask you to strengthen them all around. Help them all to focus and look to you, knowing that you are good. And they can trust in you for all things. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here this morning and are healthy. I ask you to keep them healthy, Lord. There's so many things and viruses going around nowadays. I ask you to just keep these strong and healthy. And Lord, I just thank you that we can be here today to worship you, for you are worthy of our worship, and also to hear from your word as you speak to us. To this little church, you have plans, Lord. You have plans, and it's so exciting and comforting for you to reveal those things to us. And then you said you'll be with us. And so, Lord, we just praise you that for that. And we praise you this morning. Again, thank you for letting us be here. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Now we got a new song this morning, so go ahead and stand up. Get the blood flowing a little bit of a new song. It's the Lord's Prayer, actually. That's all it is. Now, the Lord's Prayer has been greatly abused by certain groups inside the church, certain faith traditions that are not biblical, where the Lord's Prayer is about trying to bring heaven to earth, literally. But I love this song because it talks about it in the proper way, that you bring heaven to earth-like conditions. In heaven, God is always praised, he's always adored, and he's always obeyed. Bring that into our hearts. Bring that same attitude that the angels in heaven have to us. And that's what this song is about. So let's go ahead and sing.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father,
Okay, folks. Just had a young lady give me a handshake and really solid. Reminds me when I moved to Texas, you know, we were down in Georgia in the Deep South. And in the Deep South, you don't shake ladies' hands like a man. It's not proper. So you shake them, you don't grip real hard, right? That's what I was used to. Then we were at our church in Texas for the first time. First Sunday morning, I went up. And this lady, and I shook her hand. You don't do it like a guy or girl, but you don't grip hard. And I did this lady's hand, I did it soft, and she was like, ugh! I'm like, what's her problem? Like, phew. Met the next lady, she did the same thing. And I was like, these Texas women, all right. So the third lady, I was like, oh yeah, wham, right? But, No, but the first two women probably thought I was a big wimp, you know. But glad to see those ladies shaking their hands. All right, let's see what's going on this week. In our announcements, of course, we didn't have the Fireside Cafe this morning. All right. Now, Becky, she's not actually sick. Jacqueline and Ariel are not feeling good. But Becky actually broke her foot. So it's just been a crazy week for people. This week. So we didn't have the Fireside Cafe this morning. But I broke in and I got my coffee anyway. So if you guys had been there, I would have got coffee for you, but you guys weren't there. So coming next Sunday it'll be open, 9:30. Come on in early, have a good coffee or a smoothie or whatever you want, hot chocolate and Right, I think there's a donut shop near our house coming down on the other side. I think I'm going to try to get a little thing going where we get fresh made donuts every Sunday. I'll pick up. Hopefully I'll deliver them here, but pick them up. So, oh, they're all going to be chocolate. All of them. Just for you, Mark. All right, prayer and psalms on Sunday mornings. We had this morning. We're almost done with Psalms 119. We can actually move to Psalms 120 here in a couple weeks. But as we work our way through the Psalms, there's a lot to be praying about. So come and join us on Sunday mornings. You can be here at 9:30, get your coffee, then come to the prayer service. All right, Sunday mornings, we do have nursery this morning, 0 to 4. You can drop them off at 10:30 with Children's Church. It is canceled this morning, and all you young ones in here are real happy about that, right? You like being in church, right? Wow. I don't believe that one. Do you? Yeah, lots of enthusiasm. Oh, wow. Okay. So, Children's Church will be back next week. Wendy was feeling really rough this, Friday. She never even got out of bed. They should be back. Everything should be back by next Wednesday or next Sunday. So Children's Church will be back, so you guys only have to suffer for one Sunday in here. Now, we are going to be meeting on Friday, the February 24th. 6 to 8 p.m. is our dodgeball night. All right, so this is for kids and families. Not a drop-off thing. It's for the families, the adults. You have to play dodgeball as well. Okay? So, and we open this up to everybody to come and have a good time. And she'll have pizza, but she does ask you to sign up so we know how many pizzas to get. Okay, so if you're going to sign up, please do so. There's a sign-up sheet out there, and I think there's one back there in the children's department. Okay, Sunday nights, we do have Discipleship 101. We're about to start a new section, Letter to the American Church. That's going to start next week. You don't need to technically get the book. The book is optional. I encourage you to get the book because it's a really good book. But you can still come and hear the lessons from each chapter if you don't want to get the book. But it's a good book to challenge us. So that's going to start next Sunday night. Today we're actually still going to be meeting. We're going to finish up our testing. I know we don't like to be tested, but we're going to be kind of reviewing everything we've learned over the last, I think it's been a year and a half or so of teachings on Sunday nights. So we've just been reviewing. So come out tonight. Super Bowl will be over with. Don't worry about, you know, who wins. Just come on out for church. Super Bowl starts at what? What time? 3:30. Church starts at 6. You got plenty of time, right? You don't need to see the last quarter. No big deal. But anyway, all right. Women's Bible study tomorrow is canceled. Okay, most of the people are sick. Wendy's sick. So tomorrow night, ladies, do not show up for Bible study. We will post one in 1 week. But the men, we're still meeting, right? Yeah, Gordon is actually sick up there, but I needed somebody up there in the sound system. So he didn't have an option. So he's been a trooper. So wow. At least I don't have a whip. So, men's Bible study Tuesday. If Gordon is sick because I've overworked him by Tuesday, then I'll pinch hit for him, whatever. But man, we're still meeting. So Tuesday the night in the man cave, 6:30. All right, the Edge Youth Group. Wednesdays, 6 to 12, 5:30, 7:30. All the teens and tweens are welcome. We have a good time playing some games, and also definitely the Word of God. Thursday, the Book of Revelation. We're continuing that study. So that's Thursday night, 7 p.m. in the Fireside Cafe. So come on out and join us. Center stage this week, we have our Get in Line, a skit about entering into heaven. Hopefully, half the cast is sick right now. So this is going to be a fluid situation. I have to postpone my practice tonight because hopefully we can do it Thursday and have the skit on Friday. But what we'll do is if for some reason people are just not going to get better by then we will postpone this skit. Check the website. We'll try to send it out. And if we have to cancel Friday night, we'll send it out in email. I'll send it out, text everybody I have. And we'll also post it on the website that it's canceled. So before Friday evening, make sure you check the website if you haven't heard. If it's posted that we've canceled it, if it's not on there, then we're doing it. So come on out. It'll be a good time. It'll be fun. Cobbler Bake Off. I got 3 people signed up. I need a few more signed up to make nice, good-sized cobbler. And Debbie, you just waving at me? Oh, so you're gonna bake a cobbler for us? Are you better than Gordon? She said, "Oh yeah." All right, good. All right, sign up sheet out there. All right, offering boxes are on the back wall. We're gonna continue in our worship. You may remain seated if you like, or you may stand.
Yeah. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen, amen. I wanted to speak on this, Mike. You know, you can stay seated if you want. You can see if you want. No, I'll get back. No, I'm just kidding. This was said this week. I know this was said this week. Jesus said to Jackie this last week, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I know he said that. Because I know Jackie. I came in Monday and I found out Monday morning. And the first thought, feeling I had was two. I was proud of her and I was happy for her. She was growing in Christ every day. For the last 9 years that I've been here, she's been faithful. In the last few years, she's just really stepped up. And not only was she in here, even at her age, every Monday, dealing with the banking and the deposits, but she'd stop in my office every Monday. She'd have a smile on her face, and she was so excited to tell me what she had learned from the Word of God this last week. And we had talked. She always had that smile. She was there every Sunday morning in prayer service, praying. She's with the ladies in their Bible study. Probably the oldest lady there, kind of leading the way, setting the example, as the Scripture tells the older ladies to do. So when she went home, could not mourn. I was proud of her because she carried the cross all the way to the end. She was trying to share with people. She got upset because she went to the post office here recently to buy stamps, and she wanted some religious stamps at Christmas. And the person at the post office said, "We don't believe in that stuff anymore." So she tried to share the truth. Well, you better. She was a good saint. Still is. We're going to see Jackie again. And so, in memory of Jackie, still singing to our Lord, I want us to sing this last song.
I'm
Amen, amen. Thank you, team. You may be seated. Now, I'll be meeting with Jackie's family tomorrow, and the service will be on Wednesday. I think we have it scheduled at 2. But if anything changes from that, we'll put it out for everyone to know. We are Team Jesus. We're taking up our cross. Today we're going to continue in our study, Truth in a Truth-Denying World. This week in the headlines, it seems like it's getting crazier each week. They tried to outdo themselves from the week prior. But we're looking at this to understand what truth is. Truth is a thought, statement, or opinion that lines up with reality. Truth is true for all people in all places and all times. Truth does not change. That's what they're teaching today. It does change. It's up to each individual person to have their own truth. That ideology collapses in on itself. It is not possible to maintain. There's one truth for all people in all places and all times. Never changes. But the main problem today is there is no authority but yourself. We're teaching this to little children all the way up. Feelings are your authority. Feelings are what you go on. That's how you know what something is true and when something is not true, based on how you feel about it. Happiness is the goal. Don't get in their way of being happy. That's the ultimate sin, is to get in the way or to judge them for what they are doing. Judging is the ultimate sin. You cannot judge. And God, it's okay to believe in God as long as you don't believe in God of the Bible. You can believe in any God or higher being you want, force, universe, whatever it may be. You may even claim to be believing in the Bible, God of the Bible and Jesus, but you've redefined them. You've reinvented them into your own image. But God and Jesus is comfortable. That's the main problem today. Everyone's going with their feelings. The consequences. We looked at this last week. What is the consequences when everyone starts to do what is right in their own eyes? Chaos. Next slide there, Gordon. And we looked at all these different things that are just insane going on in the world today. Deception. Insane ideologies. Lawlessness, depravity, harming and mutilating children. Today we want to look at the solution. What's the solution? You ready for it? Go ahead, Gordon. Judging. Judging. That's not very Christ-like. Christ said, don't judge. Judging is wrong. It's the ultimate sin nowadays. Judging. We're not supposed to judge, right? Matthew 7, verse 1. This is the most quoted verse outside of John 3:16 in the Bible. Judge not that you be not judged. You see, Jesus said it himself. Do not judge. And this is what the world screams. I mean, I've heard so many non-believers, people who are not Christians, quote this verse as in defense of their own life and their own decisions. Jesus said, don't judge. Even non-believers know this. Judge not that you be not judged. So, Pastor, how can you tell us to be judging? That really sounds mean and hypocritical. Well, actually, it's not. What is the number one rule when it comes to understanding Scripture? Say it again. Context. You see, I can take any verse in the Bible out from the chapter that it is in, and the old saying that says, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. I can make it sound and say and do all sorts of things. This is how false teachers and false prophets do. This is how cults, Christian cults, they'll take one verse out and change its meaning. But if you leave it in context and you read it in context, it tells you what the meaning is. Scripture interprets Scripture. It's not open to personal interpretation. That's why we teach here, well, if we just teach a section, we teach the whole section. Or that's why we usually go through books of the Bible verse by verse from start to finish, so we understand context. So you're not misled. So if you take this verse by itself, yeah, it says don't judge. But let's leave it in context. Let's figure out this morning what Jesus was actually teaching. What did Jesus actually said here? So let's do it in context. Here we go. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Boy, context is already changing, isn't it? What judgment you judge. What judgment means, implies there's different kinds of judgment, isn't there? And with the measure you use it, that implies there's a right way and a wrong way. A correct standard and an incorrect standard, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What is Jesus pointing out here? Well, the wrong way, the wrong measure of judging is being a hypocrite, hypocritical judging here. So we see Jesus is referencing exactly that, being a hypocrite and judging others. Are you pointing out evil in others when you have evil in your own life? Maybe even more evil than maybe who you're judging? Right here, it's basically you need to get right with God, allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you first, start walking correctly with God, then go and help others, pointing out maybe if they have a speck in their eye, to help to show the sin in their life that they need to repent of that. They need to come to Christ. You see, after he calls them hypocrite, he says, first remove the plank in your own eye, then you can point out, you can judge the speck in your brother's eye. You see, he condemns being a hypocrite. You're full of sin, but you're judging others. Wrong measure, wrong kind of judgment. Verse 7. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now that sounds harsh, doesn't it? That sounds real harsh. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is here is telling his disciples to be wise about sharing the truth. For bringing the truth of sin to people, which they say you're judging them. For time is precious. There are going to be people you run into who are so filled with hate for God and the Word and the things of God. It's like speaking to a brick wall. You're never going to reach them with the truth. Your time, your effort will completely go to waste. So question here. If we are not to judge people at all, as the world says, verse 1 means, then how can we make the judgment on who are dogs and swine and trying to share the gospel with them is going to be a complete waste of your time and resources? If we're not to judge, how can we make the judgment call that this person, as Christ refers to, dog or swine, the dog always returns to its vomit and the pig always turns back to the mud? You're wasting your time. Go find somebody else who's more open You have to make a judgment to do that, do you not? So God, is Jesus telling us to contradict verse 1? Or maybe verse 1 is saying and pointing us to this whole passage in context, there's a proper way of judging and there's an improper way. And the first is being a hypocrite. But it's very clear God is making us, calling us to make a judgment here. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Again, the teaching is clear and it implies a judgment call on the behalf of the believer to know the difference between the narrow way and the broad way, which is the standard of God, the Word of God. We have to make a judgment call because many travel this road. Few travel this road. For us to be able to tell people they're on the wrong way, the broad way, we're having to make a judgment call and point them to the narrow way. Again, you cannot escape judging. Can't. To be able to tell people you're wrong, you're traveling on the broad way which leads to death and destruction and judgment, you're having to make a judgment call of who they are so you can point them to the narrow way. If we're never to judge, we can never, ever tell somebody they're on the broad way. Ever. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. Oh, is Jesus telling us to make a judgment call here? Most definitely. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Again, Jesus is very clearly telling his disciples, you better have your understanding, you better make correct judgments because there's false prophets, pastors, teachers out there, and you're going to have to point them out. You're going to have to be able to judge from a false prophet to a true one, to a false pastor to a true one, to a false teacher to a true teacher based on their fruits. Well, to look at somebody's fruits, the actions of their lives, their words, their works, that is calling us to make a judgment based on their works, their fruit compared to Scripture. If I'm never allowed to judge anybody, I can't point out false teachers and pastors. Paul did. You'll know them by their fruits. To make the call based on their fruits, the understanding that you have to judge. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We are instructed by Jesus to judge a person on their fruits. So again, did Jesus really tell us never to judge anyone? No. Let's keep going. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, oh, I hate that word, many will say to me in that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This, to hear that on judgment day means you have no hope. Zero, zero, none. It's too late. You see, these people that are listed here are self-righteous. They are judging themselves and others by what they have done in this life. But we are not saved by our works. I have talked to many people over the years who have their own version of the gospel. They have their own version of what this actually says. And they're all over the place. They don't let Scripture interpret Scripture. They come up and take verses out of context and move things around. And they come up with all sorts of crazy stuff that they believe. And it's my job as a pastor to help people understand what this actually says. Not by my personal feelings, but by what it actually says. Scripture interprets Scripture. And I've had to, in those uncomfortable situations, nicely as can, say, no, you're wrong. And I do that because if they're not corrected, especially if it's they've changed the gospel, and I've met many people who have changed the gospel or added to the gospel, and then it's no longer by faith, and we're saved by faith, and if you're not saved by faith, you're not saved. So if I don't correct them, and it's uncomfortable for them, sometimes uncomfortable for me, but if I don't make a judgment on them and their false belief and try to show them what the Word actually says, they could end up here one day. And they'll hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." God does not make it hard to come to Him, but you have to come to Him the way He says to. The gospel is not difficult. But people will try to make it that way. They try to add to it. Some of your loved ones, family members, believe incorrectly of what this says. Either they were taught that from some false church or a false pastor somewhere, or they've just made it up themselves. But some of your loved ones, friends, believe in false things. You're to make a judgment on that according to God's Word and share with them the truth. You need to tell them they're wrong. Even though that's what you're not supposed to do nowadays, don't judge me. Well, who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey man? Or are you going to obey God? Because God is laying out, we are to make a judgment call here. We're to judge them on their fruits, according to the Word of God. Try to help them find their way to the truth. If you don't, some of your loved ones and your friends might hear one day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on rock." The truth, Jesus. You see, if you take what Jesus is saying here and you use the correct kind of judging, in the correct measure, you can help people who are lost in deception, who are lost in false beliefs. You can help them find the truth. But if you never judge anyone, if you can't ever tell anybody they're wrong, how are you going to help them? You can't. Unless you give them a false gospel that doesn't mention sin and repentance. Jesus said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus said, "I have come to preach repentance." God requires all to repent. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Isaiah the prophet, "Evil man, wicked man, forsake your ways." You have to turn from sin. But if we can't judge people anymore and to point out their sin, how are they going to repent? And if you don't repent, it's just like faith. You don't have salvation. You can't come to the cross of Jesus Christ holding on to your sin. That's a slap in His face. He died for that sin. And you're going to hold on to it? That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people teach that. Oh, you don't have to repent. You just have to believe. Just believe. It's not what the Bible teaches, folks. Got to make judgment calls on that. If you do that, you'll be found upon the rock, and what you do will be solid and good. But, verse 26, But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Allowing people to believe in false things because we're not going to point out they're wrong, because you're not to judge anybody, you're setting them up for a great fall. If you have family members who believe God is not going to judge their sin, you're setting them up for a great fall. To allow people to walk the broad path with no warning will end them in a great fall of destruction and death. You know how Matthew 7:1 is quoted by everybody? Don't judge! I love this. Matthew 7, verse 24 in John is never quoted. John 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to what? Appearance. But judge with righteous judgment. Why is that ever quoted? Let's take the first part. Do not judge according to appearance. Wow. That verse was needed in that day, but it's still needed, is it not? What are our kids being taught today? To judge each other by what? Skin color. I wish it was character. They're not being taught that anymore. We're to CRT, critical race theory. I talked about it last week. Judge each other by our skin. But God says, Jesus said very clearly, don't judge according to appearance. Now, it doesn't have to just be skin. I've seen it over my years in church. I've seen churches where if you walk in and you're not dressed the right way, have you been there? I knew a guy in church one time. He was scary. He was a former Hell's Angel. Literally, I mean, he was one of those biker, he was in that biker gang. He was a bad guy. The kind of guy you would not want to run into anywhere, let alone a dark alley. But this man got saved. But he still looked like a biker. Still dressed like a biker. He was in a church one time up in Washington State where I was. And he got up to speak. And sitting there, you wouldn't know because he's just sitting there. And he bald head and big and tattooed and leather jacket. And just staring and looking at you. Then he got up to speak. What I call the Jesus smile appeared. A smile believers get when they start talking about their Lord and Savior. And this man who was 6 foot something, 300 pounds, spoke so softly, but so powerfully about his Lord who had saved him. And now he's a missionary to the bikers. That's why he still looks the way it is. Because, you know, one of us goes into the biker gang, you know, hey guys! That ain't going to work, is it? But he walks in, boom, 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 let me tell you about Jesus. They're going to listen. But a lot of people would judge him on his appearance. Jesus condemns that. But he says here, judge. He says it. Judge with righteous judgment. So, I find this amazing. Go to the next slide. The most quoted verse in the Bible out of context is Matthew 7. Jesus said, don't judge me. Never quoted John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That means Here's what Jesus is saying. It means this. Do not judge as a hypocrite. Do not judge as self-righteous. Do not judge by appearance. But it doesn't mean don't judge ever. Because there's a right judgment to make and to warn people. It's a righteous judgment based on the Word of God. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So if you go up to somebody and say, yes, what the life you're living is in opposition to God. You are sinning. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's what God says. Repent. Don't judge me. I'm not actually judging you. I'm warning you that God is going to judge you. But I can stand here on the authority of God's Word and say your sin is real and God is going to judge it. We must tell people that they are sinners. We must point out the sin. We must tell them to repent. We must tell them about Jesus. We must share the gospel of salvation just like our Lord and Savior did. Let me show you quickly as I close. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, all right, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered, hey, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? They're kind of being a little prideful here. They didn't like what Jesus just said. Well, hey, we're free. Well, they weren't. They were under Roman control. But they didn't like, hey, don't criticize us, Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He's not talking about political freedom. He's talking about sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son, a daughter, abides forever. Therefore, if the Son, Jesus Christ, makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but I can see in your heart, you seek to kill me because My Word has no place in you. Wait a minute, I thought these Jews believed on Him. Well, they did when it was easy to believe in Jesus, when He's making food for you to eat and providing what you need. But now Jesus is starting to judge me. I don't like it. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with My Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Oh, He's judging them, isn't He? Verse 39, they answered and said to Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill Me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God Himself. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to Him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. What do they mean by that? They're either attacking Jesus because Jesus has always been marked. He's always been despised His whole life because Mary, His mother, was unfaithful to Joseph. He was born out of fornication because Mary was no good. Cheated on Joseph. They have to bring that up. Wow, God's people attacking a man they think has a worthless, no good mom. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you are not able to listen to My word. You are of your father, the devil. Ouch! That's a judgment. I've never done that myself. I've thought it. Especially on Wednesday night in the youth group. You are your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's really being judgmental, isn't it? Verse 56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old. And you've seen Abraham? A couple thousand years ago? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. We know what that means. Verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Go to the next slide there, Gordon. Jews who believed him, within a few verses, they took up stones to throw at him. They believed in him. They liked him. And then they wanted to kill him. Why? What happened between verse 31 and verse 59? Judgment. He pointed out their sinfulness. He pointed out what was in the heart, because he can look at the heart. Oh, they claim to believe in them. Oh, yeah, we believe in you as long as you tell us what we like and keep giving us fish and bread. But he said, no, today we're going to go deeper. I'm going to look at what's inside. Here's what's inside. And he was correct. They tried to kill him because he pointed out their sin. He judged them correctly and righteously, and they did not like it. So they tried to kill him. He pointed out their false understanding, their false beliefs, and he pointed out their sinfulness, and they hated him for it. There's always going to be a price to be paid for standing for the truth in a truth-denying world. John 15, Jesus said this, these things I command you, that you love one another. Biblical love rejoices in the truth. To love people correctly is to share the truth. Don't share the truth, you're not loving them. That you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. That's why so many churches are compromising today. They want to be loved by the world. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It's the price. It's the price of doing what Jesus did and what he told us to do. To be his witnesses. To be salt and light. To fulfill the great commission to make disciples. If someone's going to be a disciple, they need to find out first they're a sinner, lost, and God's going to judge them. But God gave them a way out, Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. Put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be born again. Then be trained in sanctification and discipleship, and then go out with righteous judgment and warn the next sinner. But you're going to be hated for doing it. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. As I close, team, come on up. As I close, do not judge as a hypocrite, folks. If you have sin in your life that you're not turning from, but then you turn around and you try to play Christian and tell other people they're wrong, God sees it. Whatever measure you judge others is going to be measured to you. If you're judging like a hypocrite, I would suggest you stop. I would suggest, as the pastor of this church, don't ever share the gospel with anyone again if you are a hypocrite. You make my life and every other saint out here who's trying to do it right, you make our life harder. If you're a hypocrite, if your life is full of sin, don't tell anybody about Jesus. Do not judge as self-righteous. If you think you're better than other people, don't tell anybody about Jesus. If you judge people by appearance, don't think about sharing Jesus. But if you can remain humble before God and before the world, if you are seeking discipleship and sanctification, if you're truly trying to walk with Christ and grow in Christ and you want to honor Jesus in your life, then please share the gospel. We're not perfect, but we need to be on the narrow path. If you're going to be salt and light, be true salt and light. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be self-righteous. Don't judge by appearance. Those are what Jesus condemns. But he says, judge righteously. Judge in love. You're pointing people, yes, you're pointing their sin out. They're going to accuse you of judging them, but you're going to be clear with them about this is what God says. That's true love. You're willing to be hated by people. We have to stand up in this world and share the truth. It doesn't matter if they want to hear it or not. God has commanded us to love, and love rejoices in the truth. You have to share with your family, your friends, strangers, whoever God brings you to. You must tell them that they too can be forgiven and set free. But to be forgiven, they have to understand they have sin. You have to point it out. You got to make the judgment. Just like Jesus did. Our closing song expresses two things. We're as guilty in here as born-again believers in God. We're as guilty as the man who nailed Jesus to the cross. You do understand that, right? Your sin put Jesus on the cross. It's as if we nailed Jesus to the cross. So we're just as guilty as the people who nailed Jesus to the cross. We're just as guilty and cowardly as the disciples that forsook him that night and hid when he was arrested. We've done that. We're just as guilty as Peter when Peter denied him three times. We've denied Christ probably many more than that. This song talks about our guilt, our sinfulness, our rebellion, our rejection of Christ, but then being forgiven for it all. Because that's what God does if we will repent. And how great it is to be forgiven. Once you really understand who we are and we're forgiven of all that, we were so guilty, all of us, and we've been forgiven. And now it's changed our lives. And now we want to share that with others. The great song. We are called to make righteous judgments so people can know how guilty they are so they too can be born again. People are going to hate us for it. Next week, I'm going to show you how we're going to adopt this plan. It's crazy. I don't think you've probably ever heard this before. It's nothing new. But how we're going to do this next week, got to come back. Got to hear it. It'll change your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know it's not politically correct in our world to have a sermon calling us to judge others. But Lord, again, if we understand judging biblically and correctly, it makes all the sense. We have to make judgment calls on what is right and what is wrong based on your word. Not on our feelings, not on man's traditions, not even on church traditions, but according to your word, your time-tested word. So Lord, I ask you to help us to do that. But we do it in a loving way. We don't do it as hypocrites. We don't do it as self-righteous. We don't do it as being racist and arrogant. But we do it in love. And it's not going to be seen as love, but that's when we have to remember you. We have an audience of one in this life. We'll only have one we're going to give an account to, and that's you. So Lord, I ask you to help us to stand strong as believers, to make righteous judgments in a God-loving way, helping people find the truth of who they really are and how much they need Jesus Christ. Because you fixed the day which you will judge the world in righteousness. You have given assurance of all of this by raising the man who will do the judging, by raising him from the dead. So Lord, if there's one in here right now who doesn't know if they're right with you, Lord, I ask you to lay it on their heart heavy that they're not right with you. They can believe in you and still not be right with you, just like those people in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, who are calling you Lord. They're doing great works, but you'll say to them, I never knew you. There's a right way of coming to you, and there's many false ways. So, Lord, if there's someone in here who's not right with you, I ask you to gently, but with the heaviness that you can do, but with the gentleness of the Spirit, lay it on their heart, revealing to them they're not right with you, and for them to come talk to me. So, again, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you for your word and the clarity of your word, especially when it's left in context. Thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to remember who we used to be in our sins and that we have been forgiven. And that is an incredible, amazing, perfect, beautiful treasure. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing that song. Then we'll go home.
Forgiven, forgiven, child. feet under. I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I should be in that fire. But now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave gonna hold God's people. All the weight of all our evil lifted away forever free. Who could believe, who could believe? Forgiven, forgiven. You love me even when
amen? Amen. All right. About to break out of here, Team Jesus. Just real quick. Who's for the Eagles? Wow. Who's for the Chiefs? Cool. Who's for Team Jesus? All right. There we go. Because if we were on that field, we'd take them all out, right? All right, Team Jesus, let's go out. Let's play the best game we can this week. Pick up our cross. Put the armor of God on. Let's be salt and light. People are going to hate you. Deal with it. They hated Christ. It's just part of the being a Christian. But we're going to love back. We're going to supernaturally, through the power of Jesus and His Holy Spirit, those who hate us, despise us, we can love them back. We can show them something unnatural. The natural human being would lash back. But we can show the supernatural. And it's not in signs and wonders and gold dust. It is love. Supernatural love of God. Let's show that. All right, Team Jesus, on the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Let's go. Yeah.